up, what up, what up? It's your boy LQ, Mr. Real Deal Fantasy HQ. You see the face, you know the case. Fire content only. And now you are locked into FTN Fantasy's new series called What's the Word? Where you can stay tapped in with the latest news and buzz around the 32 teams in the NFL covered by some of the best boots on the ground. And today I am joined here by a very special guest who's been covering the Vikings for a bit, Mr. Matthew Collar, the Purple Insider. How you doing? How you feeling?
Oh, I'm a little sunburned from being out at training camp every single day. But aside from that, it's been a very, very interesting start to the season, or the training camp season, for the Minnesota Vikings. I think that they, and maybe some bias here since I cover them, but I think it's one of the most fascinating teams in the entire NFL. How often does a team win 14 games and then turn the ball over to a younger quarterback and move on from the guy that won all those games? How often does a team win 14 games and spend $300 million in free agency? So there's a lot of new faces. There's every single day, every single throw from JJ McCarthy is hyper-analyzed by all of us. So that has certainly added some extra juice to this start to training camp.
Wow, man. How long have you been covering the Vikings?
My first year was 2016. Actually, okay. I started my job on the day that Teddy Bridgewater got hurt.
Oh, the Minnesota fight.
Yeah, that was like,
is that a Rams game?
It was actually got hurt in practice.
Oh, no.
They were just about to, you know, start the season. I think it was maybe 10 days before the start of the season. And that's when I had gotten a job to come out here, work for ESPN Radio in the Twin Cities. So I was moving stuff when Teddy Bridgewater got hurt and all my friends started texting me, didn't you just move to Minnesota to cover the Vikings?
Like, it was your fault, Matthew. What is going on?
could be. So this will be my 10th season covering the Vikings. Yep.
Oh, wow. That's awesome, man. Now, you spoke about JJ McCarthy. I mean, look, the fantasy streets need to know. What's the word on JJ? I mean, how has he looked so far in camp?
I think that there have been a lot of moments where you totally understand why they would do this, and a lot of moments where you're going, you know, this Vikings defense is going to be really good, right? Yeah. And with JJ McCarthy, the hard thing is that in the past, even with a quarterback like Sam Darnold, we were not hyper-analyzing every single practice and grading every single practice because he's a veteran quarterback and he's been around. And if it's a bad practice, you go, oh, well, you know, the defense just had a good day today. And the same thing for Kirk Cousins, where you almost didn't even need to watch Kirk Cousins during practice because he was a machine. He was going to be Kirk Cousins no matter what. So now it's an interesting dynamic because I think JJ McCarthy started out training camp before the pads came on and looked absolutely phenomenal. He was throwing the ball down the field, throwing the ball with touch, and really looking in full command of the offense. But then the pads come on, and the violence gets ramped up from the defensive line. I know they can't hit the quarterback, but still, they can take, you know, finger quote sacks,
yeah,
and they can get immediate
help.
Right, exactly. Like, they're not hitting him, but it's a sack. The play ends, that kind of thing. And pressure, regardless of whether you can actually get hit or not, affects any quarterback. And so at the moment, this defensive line that has been improved greatly by Javon Hargrave and Jonathan Allen, and then has two guys that are Pro Bowl and all pro caliber on the edges, not to mention that Dallas Turner has been off to a really great start to training camp. They're just in the backfield all the time. And I think that's thrown off JJ McCarthy a little bit for his progress. He's fought through it. He's made some great plays. But there's been other times where you see the fact that he did not play last year and that he was hurt. You see a throw that gets airmailed. You see maybe a play where he needed to get it out a little quicker and takes a sack. So we're kind of weighing the, all right, it doesn't look like it's a disaster or these, you know, that they're regretting their decision 7 days into training camp. But also you're seeing how far they do have to go as an offense, not to mention that Justin Jefferson has been out with a mild hamstring issue that is not expected to affect his actual season. It does affect these practices in JJ McCarthy. So I think it's been, it was a really fast start, and then it's hitting some rocky times, and how he comes out of this, I think, will tell us a lot more about where he stands going into the season.
That's one heck of a way to sharpen your sword over there, going against Brian Flores's crazy defensive line, man, bringing everything but pressure. But in your latest article over there at Purple Insider, you spoke about how quarterbacks have different superpowers. Like, what do you think JJ's superpower is?
Yeah, I think that his resilience and his command of the offense and his leadership capabilities. And I know some of this is a little bit like, we'll talk about his arm, man. And I get that, but we all know that JJ McCarthy is not Josh Allen. He's not Lamar Jackson. He's not Patrick Mahomes. This is not a historically good athlete. This isn't someone, he's a good athlete, but he's not Josh Allen. I think he's really good at a lot of things, and he has the arm to make all the throws that Kevin O'Connell needs him to throw downfield, which is probably something that people doubted the most about him. Now, consistency could be somewhat of an issue, but actual arm talent, arm strength, he could definitely do it. We've seen him do it dozens of times in training camp where he's making tight window throws, where he's pushing the football down the field, all those things. But I think where he's best is that he always is making progress. So even when there is a bad day, he usually comes back the next day and makes corrections and gets better and improves and doesn't ever really seem to get down on himself or thrown off or overly frustrated, like a kind of a constant positive force. And I think in the NFL, that's something you really need. And this is one thing that wasn't talked about a lot with Caleb Williams that concerned me coming into the NFL, was that it looks like Caleb Williams kind of got down on himself when things went wrong in college. And that's exactly what we saw last year from Caleb Williams. There was a game against the Vikings where he got beat up a little bit and was really looking down on the sideline. And like, you just can't have that as a quarterback. So I think there's some character traits that will guide McCarthy through some of these tougher moments in training camp that will ultimately prepare him for the regular season. Now, the difference between being a great quarterback and a good quarterback is one or two throws a game. So I don't know where he's going to land on that spectrum just yet, but I do think that as you have a bad game here, a tough game there, we saw it from Jaden Daniels last year, we saw it from Bo Nix, like, there are down moments, and I think he's going to be able to fight through those. And I also think that he's got the supporting cast around him, including Kevin O'Connell, to help guide him through. And I'm sure you're curious about this, but I'll throw it out there as well. I think the running game is going to be a lot better. And that will also, I know. I can FTN fantasy. Like, we're going to talk about the running backs. I think it's going to be a lot better. Not just a little, but a lot better.
Now, listen, I do want to put a pin in the running backs real quick, because I want to go back to Justin Jefferson just for a quick second, because he's been dealing with a mild hamstring injury since July 25th. He's been on the sideline. How are the Vikings treating this? And, like, should fantasy managers actually, you know, be a little cautious about taking JJ off the board so early?
No. Don't worry about that. He is going to play week one. That is an absolute guarantee. I think this is what we used to say, the phrase abundance of caution all the time. I'll bring it back for this. This is abundance of caution. If this was week 17 and they needed to win a game for the playoffs, Justin Jefferson would absolutely be playing. There's no question about that.
Okay. So that's the level of understanding then. It should just be all foot to the gas with Justin Jefferson coming off the board at the 103. That's what I just want to tell folks out there, because that's what I believe. He should still come off the board.
100%. And look, this entire offense is built to throw the ball to Justin Jefferson. I mean, there's no doubt about it. Like, that we've seen this over the last couple of years with Kevin O'Connell, that every bit of this scheme starts with number 18. And you can guarantee that JJ McCarthy, in every meeting, as he's dialing up and as he's even going back through his training camp film, like, well, this play would normally be Justin Jefferson and you would throw it to him. And Jefferson is really insisting that he throw it up when there are chances, even if he doesn't look open, which historically has been a really good idea for Vikings quarterbacks. So no, I'm not down on anything regarding Justin Jefferson. He's going to play. The hamstring will be probably pretty fine. And he's going to catch a heck of a lot of footballs, especially if Jordan Addison is missing for a couple games because there is a looming suspension. We have not heard about that suspension yet, but it is expected to come at some point. And if he's out for three games, then you know that Jefferson is getting pumped the football even more.
Yeah, I mean, look, with Jordan Addison, I mean, the suspension looming over his head, has there been any other wide receiver stepping up in camp or making any noise?
Yeah, I think the guy to watch there is Jalen Naylor. There's a few things with Naylor. Number one is that Kevin O'Connell really likes him some Jalen Naylor. Like, he gets shout outs all the time. It's been years of Kevin O'Connell saying Jalen Naylor's name, that he was a guy he expected to rise to the challenge. And we actually did see that last year when Jordan Addison was missing for a couple games, that Jalen Naylor was really good. And then, you know, Addison comes back, he becomes the main target. And then all of a sudden, you know, you're not seeing Jalen Naylor very much anymore after that. But if Addison is out, he's going to get the ball. And during this time, there has been a real chemistry that it seems to be growing between McCarthy and Jalen Naylor. Now, that doesn't mean he's going to throw it to him instead of Justin Jefferson a whole lot, but defense is really, really put all they can throw at Justin Jefferson, which often means that other guys have big games. So if you're, you know, playing a daily fantasy or something, and you're trying to pick for one weekend, or, you know, whatever it might be, maybe you're throwing something at Jalen Naylor when Jordan Addison is out, or maybe he's a guy that you pick up early or draft early, and then you let go later in the season when everybody is back to full health. But if one of them gets banged up, Naylor is absolutely the next man up, because this team really doesn't have a lot of depth at the wide receiver position. When Jefferson's been out, I bet I could give you three guesses and you would not guess who was taking first team reps unless you saw it in my article. So
yes, over at the Purple Insider over there, ladies and gentlemen,
it's Lucky Jackson, by the way, which I don't think many people in your audience know who that is. Yeah.
Okay. Look, this is why they're here, to be informed. What's the word? That is the lore. That is the theme of this podcast. Now let's take the running backs pin off the board. Now, Aaron Jones has some help in that backfield with Jordan Mason. What are the Vikings' expectations out of this backfield, man?
Yeah, that's an interesting thing to try to figure out, because Jordan Mason has looked absolutely phenomenal early in camp. I mean, he is an enormous human being. He is extremely fast. I made the crack, and I don't know how much I'm joking, that he looked like Sean Alexander back there, because the size and the speed. I know it's a little much, but like just the way
I'm a huge fan. I'm already sold.
He's just been really good. And Aaron Jones was excellent overall last year. And, you know, when they lost Christian Darrisaw, their left tackle, the run game certainly suffered. But I think that's a huge part of it, is thinking that they can be a much improved run game, is that they went out and sought out offensive linemen on the interior. And obviously protecting JJ McCarthy was top of mind. But you know, when you sign a right guard like Will Fries, who's an enormous dude, who is an exceptional run blocking guard that brings a level of physicality that they have not had at that position. You draft a first round guard at Donovan Jackson. You bring in Ryan Kelly as well. And Kelly and Fries were part of some really, really great run games with the Indianapolis Colts. That's what they're trying to emulate there. And I think that they also want the best version of Aaron Jones week to week, not the, hey, I carried the ball 30 times on a Sunday and now it's a Thursday night football game and I got to carry it 30 times again. Maybe 30 is a little high, but touch the ball 30. I mean, there were times last year where he was touching it, you know, over 20 times in a game. And that's just a little much for Aaron Jones with the mileage on his body. And I think they understood that. And Jordan Mason just kind of fell into their lap. And when I watch Jordan Mason practice, I'm like, how did they get this guy? This guy looks like a beast. So I don't really fully understand what happened there with San Francisco. I think probably it was budget related with Jordan Mason, is how he ended up as a Minnesota Viking, but he could add a completely different dynamic. Last year, you know, they were running out Cam Akers, who, you know, did his best as the backup running back, but could only handle a couple of handoffs per game, coming off two Achilles injuries. So now you got a younger guy in his prime, runs with power, has a little more finesse than you would expect. And I think that they can have a really effective run game.
Absolutely, man. It's getting hot over there in Minnesota, man, in that backfield. I'm a huge Jordan Mason fan. I mean, I've been a fan of his since 2022 in the fantasy streets, just spewing his name over there, Matthew, but just hoping that somebody would listen, that this guy is freaking talented, man. He is able to break tackles and keep it moving. He's able to bounce outside and get it up the field. And like, I don't think folks really understand in fantasy right now that Jordan Mason's ADP needs to be corrected a little bit when you go to that draft board. But Matthew, I want to ask you about TJ Hockenson, man. I'm really excited about him this season. I mean, how has he looked so far in camp?
Yeah, I think last year was a really difficult year for TJ Hockenson, because it's so hard to recover from an injury and then come back in the middle of the season, an off-season injury. So you have essentially no real off-season. It's just entirely rehabbing. And then you have to drop in out of the sky in week, maybe it was week 9, I want to say, that he arrived on the scene, and then, oh, hey, get chemistry with your quarterback and figure out all the details of how your quarterback likes where he wants you to be and route running and stuff. And still, I thought Hockenson had a fine overall year and had some really good games mixed in. He has looked so much more explosive. so much healthier, so much happier to be back at training camp. And if you're going to talk about when a quarterback is young, who do you want them to lean on? Yeah, Justin Jefferson for sure. But tight ends are a cheat code for young quarterbacks. If you could just dump it down, get 10 yards, keep a drive moving. And I think also Hockenson is going to play in the slot quite a bit if Jordan Addison is suspended, because I don't think they feel super confident about their wide receiver three. So it could kind of turn into him, because they have a good tight end too in Josh Oliver, who can start if they need him to. So I think that this is going to be a situation where it's sort of like, in case of emergency, every time, just throw it to TJ Hockenson and it'll probably be fine. We saw Kirk Cousins deploy that a lot when Hockenson and he were together in 2022 and 2023. I think we'll see a lot out of that for JJ McCarthy. So from a fantasy perspective, I think he should be very high on people's boards. The only thing that I would warn is just, there's only one football, and if they do run more, they might not throw 700 passes this year. And that may limit to some extent, but I still think he's going to get a bunch of catches.
Well, that's good to hear, because he's my number one exposure tight end right now, and I can't wait to grab him off the board this summer in my home league, man. So that's very reassuring that I think that there's going to be big opportunities for TJ Hockenson this season. So right now I want to close out, Matthew, with, you know, if I've never been to Minnesota, right, where can I go to find peace? Is there any views?
Oh,
what's peace. The word?
Oh, yeah, wow.
What's the word of that?
I wasn't sure where you're headed with that, like food or, but you want inner peace, huh?
Yeah.
Well, you know, there's this big river that cuts through the middle of the country. They call it the Mississippi. And okay. That creates in the Twin Cities, because I'm going to throw St. Paul a bone as well, Minneapolis. It cuts through the Twin Cities for those who don't know their geography. And all along the Mississippi River, there are incredible views. You can walk along the river. You could take boat tours. There's a thing called Stone Arch Bridge in downtown Minneapolis where you walk over the river and it's flowing beneath you. There's a reason why they keep people in this state, despite the fact it gets down to minus 20 sometimes.
I was about to say,
they truly, I know, they truly put a great emphasis on outdoor stuff. And so there is so many different bike trails, hiking trails, all the stuff with the river, but maybe you've heard there's also 10,000 lakes. And so kayaking is something I do all the time. People who love fishing. If you're a fishing guy, you know, that was Randy Moss's big thing. Like Randy Moss would go fishing like every day when he was
very peaceful.
So nice. Exactly. So if you want to find peace and you're not afraid of being out on a boat, I would say go fishing.
I might have to check that out, man. But Matthew, thank you for putting time aside to come on here and help the fantasy managers, fantasy listeners and fans out there on what's the word in Minnesota, man. And I want to thank you again for everybody listening. But Matthew, where can they stay tapped in directly with you to find this information about the Vikings?
Two main places would be over on YouTube, the Purple Insider channel, and the newsletter is purpleinsider.football. Easy to remember, purpleinsider.football.
Awesome, man. Thank you guys for listening, and thank you so much. Make sure you guys are liking and subscribing, and I'll see you again for another great episode next week. Peace.